Well, okay, good day, good day. It's August 15th, 2023. The time is 21:09 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Word Green with you again. Carl Jung said, "You are not what happened to you. You are what you choose to become." Of course, Jehovah is the God who causes to become. That's why we call him the true God. Now, from Mencius, the Chinese philosopher, "Friends are the siblings God never gave us." And from Mark Twain, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it." Very profound words from several sources there. Now, the Tubby TV movie, it's a movie that's in other places as well, but the Tubby TV version of it, the movie being a documentary called Root Cause from 2018. This is our excerpt from today. It's from 54, 51 somewhere in that region. I'm going to write this down. 54, 51, so I have a record. I need that. 54, 51. Okay. There we go. All right. Yeah. So, today I have some iced tea with pomegranate and well water mixed together. Just beautiful. Okay. Not too sweet. Here we go. Root Cause from about 54, 51 minutes and seconds, respectively, into it. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. It's going to be quite informative, hopefully.
I was starting to feel great, so I went to an EAV machine operator to make sure my energy flow was on track. But something was off. I found I had another blockage, this time in one of my wisdom teeth. I dug deeper and got a cone beam scan. I was told it was a cavitation, something else you really don't want. Just my luck. I had to get that sorted out now as well. Step one was actually finding out what a cavitation is.
Cavitations are basically...
Oh, summer road trip hacking.
We're going to have to mute that. Actually, let's take it off screen. Yeah, we don't want that on screen. I don't agree with the ads that play during the movie, but rather than... There's no way to bypass them on Tubby TV, so I'm just going to wait. But here we go. Might be ready, it might not. Okay, good, it's ready. Let's unmute that.
Every bone in your body is connected to another bone by way of a ligament.
Go back 30.
I had to get that sorted out now as well. Step one was actually finding out what a cavitation is.
Cavitations are basically residual infections in the jawbone which result from extraction of teeth. If the extraction site is not meticulously curated and cleansed, the bacteria just infiltrate into that wound and live there for the rest of the life of the patient. Every bone in your body is connected to another bone by way of a ligament. Your tooth is connected to your jawbone by way of what we call a periodontal ligament.
If a tooth is properly pulled, when the tooth is out, the dentist will also take out that ligament. And if that ligament is gone, that bone will heal in so that there is full bone and you have a restored jawbone. But if the doctor pulls that tooth and doesn't take out that ligament, that space where that tooth was may seal over on the top and be a cavity.
So that periodontal ligament staying in the socket, it prevents communication from the body being able to send osteoblasts and osteoclasts to that extraction site and fill in with healthy bone. It becomes a barrier.
And it will be a place where the body then will use as a storage depot for junk, toxic junk, bacteria, funguses, and it won't hurt. It may not be completely visible on a regular x-ray, but it is sitting there.
So the periodontal ligament prevents healing. One actual study on 5,000 cavitations left after wisdom teeth were removed, 4,999 had not healed. Only one in 5,000 had healed.
The majority of people in the United States and in the developed countries around the world that have had extracted teeth for any reason also have cavitations. And what's inside that hole is nothing different. And this sounds disgusting and it sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. It's the same as wet, infectious gangrene.
These cavitations in the jawbone, they can create significant diseases, significant neurological diseases, like, for example, MS.
But that cavitation can occur from different things. For instance, a person could have a clotting disease, or they could have had a football injury, something that made the bone not be healthy in that particular area. The most common reason is that the tooth was removed and the periodontal ligament was not taken out, and therefore that void of where the tooth was never did fill in appropriately with healthy bone. The second most common reason is that that bacteria that's in a root canal tooth will find a microfracture through that particular root surface and kind of wormhole through the bone and create a void. And so it's not uncommon for a cavitation to occur next to a root canal. The most common spots are the wisdom teeth.
The wisdom teeth are unique in that there are four circuits going through it instead of just two.
Okay, we'll stop there because we have other things to cover. We'll hopefully come back to this. It ended at 52. Where's the? I'm trying to find the. There it is. Let's find the indicator here. It's difficult to do it. Hang on. There. It's close. Somewhere around 58, 53. Let me write that down so I don't forget. We've covered that. I don't use full colons on the name when I mention things on the name of the video because it's easier to use a dash. It's interpreted more clearly by the internet than a full colon is. Sometimes it doesn't even recognize the character of a full colon in a file name. So, FYI for that. Let's see. Let's go. Let's go to our song for the day. It's from 1983. It was written by the Bee Gees, and it's performed here by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. And on the charts, it had 10 number ones around the world, four of them from Canada and four of them from the U.S. charts, so, and one in the U.K. also. It's a massive, massive hit. This is Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers in 1983 singing, and the chart dates from 83-84 because it was August 15th, the same as today's August 15th, except, you know, what, how many years is that? 17 plus 23. 40 years? Exactly 43 years later than this was released. This is Islands in the Stream by the Bee Gees, but sung by and performed by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Baby, when I met you, there was peace in my heart. out to get you with a fine-tooth comb. I was on the inside. There was something going on.
Okay, let's go over to our study now. I hope that recording is adequate, for it's difficult sometimes to reproduce recordings. There's some interesting recordings of performances of Dolly and Kenny together, but there's also one online of Barry of the Bee Gees. What's his last name? I'm trying to think. What is the last name of the Bee Gees? Barry. It's his initials, Bee Gees, right? Like, of the Bee Gees. Barry Gibb, right? There's Andy. There's another brother called Andy too. Among the, also the trio of, the three, including Barry, who performed so many hit songs. Okay, well, that's it. Let's go back to where we were so I get the right thing. There we go. The right amount of light here. I think we have maybe a little too little light. I keep trying to do this. It fails very often, so that might be better. Okay. So this is now in our article. Born and raised, paragraph 4-9, or chapter 4, paragraph 9, in other words, we have not yet considered the prophecy of Daniel 9 in great detail. We're at 15 minutes now in our video. But we have already seen its fulfillment, the prophecy of Daniel 9, in many ways by the ministry and crucifixion of Jesus. We may consider the half of the week, in quotes, half of the week, in various ways besides those which we have already considered, seeing as a week in prophetic language means simply any 7 units of time, such as 7 decades, 7 times some other number of years, or 7 of any other interval. In Daniel's prophecy, he doesn't specify whether it is the 70th week or some other period of time which comes under the prophetic statement, quote, the half of the week, end quote. Thus, we may consider the period of 70 years of common era, the 74 years from Jesus' birth to 70 CE, and also the period from Jesus' birth to 66 CE, when the Romans and Jews first began to engage in war, in brackets from 66 to 73 CE. That war took place. These are all periods of about 70 years, hence a week, near to the middle of which Jesus was killed in 30 CE, the crucifixion, causing sacrifice and gift offering to cease in 70 CE, according to the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 9. Note that the Jewish word, quote-unquote, week, means simply, quote-unquote, 7. That's all for that for today. No footnotes for that one. And now we'll go to our proverb for today, little ones. It's Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry piece of bread with which there is quietness than a house full of the sacrifices of quarreling. Now, we begin our Bible study for today, which is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the regulations, and the judicial decisions that Jehovah your God has commanded to teach you. This is Moses speaking to the Israelites. So as to do them in the land to which you are passing over there to take possession of it, in order that you may fear Jehovah your God, so as to keep all his statutes and his commandments that I am commanding you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and in order that your days may prove long. And you must listen, O Israel, and take care to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may become very many, just as Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, has promised you, as respects the land flowing with milk and honey. That's Moses. Now, this is Moses speaking to the Israelites in the wilderness opposite the Jordan River, opposite Jericho, on the opposite side of the Jordan River, the east side from Jericho, which is on the west side. Listen, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. And you must love Jehovah your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your vital force. And these words that I'm commanding you today must prove to be on your heart. Remember, Jehovah is the one who causes us to become better than what we are. And he creates all things also. And you must inculcate them, these words that I'm commanding you today must prove to be on your heart. And you must inculcate them in your son and speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And you must tie them as a sign upon your hand, and they must serve as a frontlet band between your eyes. And you must write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it must occur that when Jehovah your God will bring you into the land that he swore to your forefathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, great and good-looking cities that you did not build, and the houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out that you did not hew out, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and you shall have eaten and become satisfied. Watch out for yourself, that you may not forget Jehovah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves. Jehovah your God you should fear, and him you should serve, and by his name you should swear. You must not walk after other gods, any gods of the peoples who are all around you. In brackets, for Jehovah your God in your midst is a God exacting exclusive devotion. Close bracket. For fear the anger of Jehovah your God may blaze against you, and he must annihilate you from off the surface of the ground. You must not put Jehovah your God to the test, the way you put him to the test at Massa. So this is also reminiscent of how Jesus answered the devil when the devil came to him in the wilderness after Jesus' baptism. This not putting Jehovah to the test was one of the things that Jesus referred to then. You should, continuing now from verse 17, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you should by all means keep the commandments of Jehovah your God and his testimonies and his regulations that he has commanded you, and you must do what is right and good in Jehovah's eyes in order that it may go well with you, and you may indeed enter and take possession of the good land about which Jehovah has sworn to your forefathers by pushing away all your enemies from before you, just as Jehovah has promised. In case your son should ask you in a future day, saying, what do the testimonies and the regulations and the judicial decisions mean that Jehovah our God has commanded you? Then you must say to your son, we became slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but Jehovah proceeded to bring us out of Egypt with a strong hand. So Jehovah kept putting signs and miracles, great and calamitous, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there in order that he might bring us here to give us the land about which he had sworn to our forefathers. Hence Jehovah commanded us to carry out all these regulations, to fear Jehovah our God for our good always, that we might keep alive as at this day. And it will mean righteousness for us that we take care to do all this commandment before Jehovah our God, just as he has commanded us. That's the end of Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's got some of the famous scriptures, like Jehovah is one God, very, very famous scripture. In other words, there's no Trinity, right? History, I mean, that's one of the things it means, certainly. Sounds like it, doesn't it? So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now. Paul, writing his second letter to the Corinthian congregation. Now, I myself, Paul, entreat you by the mildness and kindness of the Christ, lowly though I am in appearance among you, whereas when absent, I am bold toward you. Indeed, I beg that when present, I may not use boldness with that confidence with which I am counting on taking bold measures against some who appraise us as if we walked according to what we are in the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage warfare according to what we are in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful by God for overturning strongly entrenched things. For we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to the Christ. And we are holding ourselves in readiness to inflict punishment for every disobedience, as soon as your own obedience has been fully carried out. You look at things according to their face value. If anyone trusts in himself that he belongs to Christ, let him again take this fact into account for himself, that just as he belongs to Christ, so do we also. For even if I should boast a bit too much about the authority that the Lord gave us to build you up and not to tear you down, I would not be put to shame, that I may not seem to want to terrify you by my letters. For, say they, his letters are weighty and forceful, but his presence in person is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a man take this into account, that what we are in our word by letters when absent, such we shall also be in action when present. For we do not dare to class ourselves among some or compare ourselves with some who recommend themselves. Certainly they, in measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, have no understanding. For our part, we will boast, not outside our assigned boundaries, but according to the boundary of the territory that God apportioned to us by measure, making it reach even as far as you. Really, we are not overstretching ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in declaring the good news about the Christ. No, we are not boasting outside our assigned boundaries in the labors of someone else, but we entertain hope that, as your faith is being increased, we may be made great among you with reference to our territory. Then we will abound still more to declare the good news to the countries beyond you, so as not to boast in someone else's territory, where things are already prepared. Quote, but he that boasts, let him boast in Jehovah, end quote. That's from the Hebrew Scriptures, possibly, let's see. Jeremiah 9 and 24, to be precise, says, but let the one boasting, let's see if we can get that lower. I don't think you can read that, possibly. I don't know if the video lyrics were visible now that I think of it. I didn't check that. I hope they were. They were visible possibly on the video screen, but not necessarily on the file on the right side. But let the one bragging about himself brag about himself, Jeremiah says, because of this very thing, the having of insight and the having of knowledge of me, that I am Jehovah, the one exercising loving kindness. There's the idea of the one again. He's the one God, one true God. For in these things I do take delight, is the utterance of Jehovah. He's the master of creation. I mean, he's the one that we think of. We turn to him when we're in dire need. For not the one who recommends himself is approved, but the man whom Jehovah recommends. That's the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we are at 26 minutes and 48 seconds. So that gives us about 6 minutes. Oh, it's so nice. If you just drink pure blueberry juice, it's so delicious and so sweet. But the sugar is too much to drink continuously every day. So, at least that's what I'm finding. So I have to wait now quite a long time and maybe use less of the juice mixed with something else. I wonder if blueberry goes well with iced tea. I'm just using the Nest tea that has more natural ingredients. I don't want anything artificial. So I'm using the best iced tea that I can find. I've made my own too, with 12 tea bags, you know, in water, soaking them in cold water for like an hour, and then putting them in the fridge to steep them for another, you know, overnight sort of thing, that kind of a longer period of time, and then taking them out and putting them and mixing them with lemon. And if I want to put, I guess I could put sweetener in there if I wanted. What sweetener do I use? Maple syrup is probably not, it may not work for everything. That's the thing about maple syrup, it may not be the right sweetener for everything, but it certainly works very well for some things. For example, dairy products, mixing that with it is very good. I want to get my calcium, my dairy for the day, also later. Now, when I say that calcium is OH, the minus, the hydroxyl ion, OH minus, when I say that calcium is rich in that particular ion, it's because calcium is a alkali, earth metal, and so is magnesium, too. They're both like that. So that means that, well, calcium has extra electrons, so it has electrons that can produce the OH minus ion. Every calcium atom can produce two OH. So therefore, when I say calcium is oxygen rich, it's got the oxygen in the form of OH, the OH ion, if you will. And it is a negative ion, which is electron rich. And so you have this powerful alkali effect from calcium, and it also comes with the great benefit of having oxygen with it. The body needs oxygen. Everyone seems to love oxygen. If you try to buy a product, you know who you are. If you try to buy a product that is on the shelf, you know, somewhere, that increases your oxygen in your body. Many times, many, many, many times, it's out of stock because everybody buys that without even thinking twice. So, but they don't know that calcium is oxygen-rich and also calcium is vital. And with it, you also need the key factors like magnesium, vitamin D3, plus the, irreplaceable vitamin K2, which can be either, hopefully both, but either the MK7 form, which means menaquinone vitamin K, that's the MK part, menaquinone vitamin K, and the 7 is the length of the molecule. So you've got MK7, and you've also got another type of vitamin K2 called MK4, which is, again, it's the same thing for the MK, but the 4 means that it's a shorter molecule, and that, well, let's go back to MK7. That form of vitamin K2 is in your body for about 72 hours. It doesn't need to be taken every day, necessarily, whereas the MK4 form of vitamin K2, it can cross the blood-brain barrier, and it also is only in your blood for about 8 hours. It doesn't remain, so you have to take it more regularly than the MK7 form. So that's it for that. Are we done yet? I don't think so. No, we're getting close. I got to keep an eye on it so I don't go over if I can. But, I mean, I should be tired now because I'm working hard. And, you know, maybe I'm slightly stronger today. I don't know, but I usually get a surge of energy. And there's that scripture that where it says Jehovah will supply the strength that I need or whatever. What is that one? Strength. I can't spell, evidently. I especially find my eyesight isn't perfect for very small text because I have floaters. But, I mean, I'm now finding I can generally read my 4K displays without needing any zooming. You know, zooming is a great thing. You should look for zooming in the branch of your, or the part of your, if you're using Apple or Mac OS, you should look for zooming in the accessibility part of the Mac OS system settings. Right. But anyway, by virtue, that's what it is, by virtue, I just didn't click on the right place to start here. By virtue, what happens by virtue? Philippians 4:13, for all things I have the strength by virtue of him who imparts power to me. So someone has to impart power to us, and that someone could be from a human, but eventually, prior to that, it had to come from somewhere, like explicitly from had to be Jehovah. Jehovah supplies power, at least if you're a believer. So here we go. That's it. We're finished our study, and I'm Ward Green. I love you. I do love you so much. And this is in my behalf. Well, first of all, it's August 15th, 2023, 21:42 hours. And in my behalf, this is, who is this? Willie. But it's a name used for a female. And all my watches are female. But Moppy, saying bye for now.